You can slowly, mindfully come out of your meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Okay? Okay. Now we'll continue with our next session program, 10 to 12 Q&A, reporting of meditation, followed by Dhamma sharing. We are reviewing the Heart Sutra Dhamma book by me. Okay. Anybody wants to ask any question or report your meditation, now you can. Anybody? Okay, otherwise if you don't have, then we get Tammy, you know, read the Heart Sutra, continue. Yesterday, did I explain the whole thing, the Heart Sutra? I only explained the first two paragraphs here. Yeah. Okay, then I continue for a little bit more. Yeah. Okay, turn to page 5 of the Heart Sutra. So I have finished the first part and the second paragraph. When Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva was practicing the profound Prajna Paramita, means perfection of wisdom, she illuminated the five skandhas, our five aggregates of forming mind, and saw that they are all empty, and she crossed over beyond all suffering and difficulty. See, when you meditate with awareness-based meditation, then when you have the insight, you can develop the ability to illuminate your five aggregates. Illuminate means like shine forth the wisdom light, to awaken, to realize that they are all empty, means they have the universal characteristics of impermanent, anicchang, or suffering state, dukkhang, and anatta, or non-self, and empty nature, not a permanent unchanging entity. Therefore, after that, Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva, which is Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, he spoke and told Sariputta, Sariputta, form does not differ from emptiness. Emptiness does not differ from form. For form itself is emptiness, and emptiness itself is form. So too are feeling, cognition, formation, and consciousness. So this one I will explain in much detail yesterday. I think most of you should have the understanding by now. So this is what actually the Buddha taught is the same. The five aggregates of form and mind, rupa, vedana, sanya, sankara, vijnana, they are all empty, not what you think. Then today, actually, we didn't go through the morning chanting. You go through the morning chanting, there is a reflection which is also about this teaching. So, morning chanting, you turn to page 9 of the retreat chanting book. Actually, the morning chanting starts from page 5, but never mind. The page 5 until page 8 is about the salutation to the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, and all those things. Then what we are interested in is what the Buddha actually wants us to develop as understanding. So page 9 is salutation to the Triple Gem, Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. And then after that, is the most beautiful, page 10. In the middle there, somewhere Having heard the teaching, we know this. So, page 10. Can you all get the page in the middle there? Having heard this teaching, we know all this. This is where the teaching is all about. And it matched with Heart Sutta. So we chant together. Having heard the teaching, we know this. Birth is suffering. Aging is suffering. Sickness, disease is suffering. And death is suffering. Sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair are suffering. Associated with people we don't like is suffering. Separation from one's loved one and prized possession is suffering. Not attaining one's wish is suffering. In brief, this is the one that the Heart Sutta say match exactly with what the Buddha said. In brief, the five aggregates of grasping are suffering. These are as follows. Identify with the body or physical body, the form, rupa. Identification with feeling, vedana. Identification with perception, sanya. Identification with mental formation or sankhara. Then identification with consciousness. So identification means you grasp, you cling, you believe it's real, it's you. That's why in the Pali is labeled as Rupa Upadana Kando, Vedana Upadano Kando, Sanya Upadana Kando, Sankara Upadana Kanyo, and Vijnana Upadana Kando, means grasping aggregate. Then after that the Buddha say, for the complete understanding of these, hey, right, recite together, what are you doing? For the complete understanding of this, the Blessed One in his lifetime frequently instructed the disciple to, in just this way. This one, the monk chant very often when I went to Thailand, my teacher's Sunnatharam monastery in Kanchanaburi. I wake up 3:45 a.m. and I heard them chanting all this. So this one, frequently instructed his disciple in just this way. In addition to all the identification or grasping, he said, in addition, he further instruct. We chant the Pali, Rupang anicang, sanya anicang, sankara anicang, Vijnanang anicam, rupang anatta, vedana anatta, sanya anatta, sankara anatta, Vijnanang anatta. Then the final summary. Sabbe sankara anicam, sabbe sankhara dukkham, sabbe dhamma anatta. So all these are the teaching in match with the Heart Sutta. Then later on he said, there is no self in the unconditioned and the unconditioned. That's why sabbe dhamma anatta. Then sabbe dhamma, sabbe sankhara anicam. All condition phenomena or all sankhara activity, mind make a day, they are impermanent. That's why he used the word sankhara. Yes, sankhara is content of consciousness, including your feeling and perception, vedana and sanya. Then consciousness, the pure vijnana, is actually the receptacle. The pure consciousness, like the Buddha said, in the seeing is only the seeing consciousness. Within the seeing consciousness, no content go in yet. Means No Vedana, no Sanya, no Sankara, especially Sankara. All of your views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, everything, they are not there. That's why that one is the receptacle, like to receive the content. Once the content go in, it become a thought, Namarup, the five aggregate of form and mind, second aspect. See it in your awareness, in your daily life, in your meditation. Then only you can really penetrate the teaching. Okay? Then after that, the Buddha continued. All of us, he say, Te Mayang, we chant together, are bounded by birth, aging, sickness and death, by sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief and despair, bounded by suffering and obstructed by suffering. Let us all aspire to complete freedom from suffering. The blessed one who long attained parinibbana is our refuge. So too are the Dhamma and the Sangha. Attentively, we follow the pathway of that blessed one with all of the mindfulness and strength. See, the emphasis is always on mindfulness. Then you have to strengthen it. May then the cultivation of this practice lead us to the end of all kind of suffering. Then the closing puja, okay? We recite the Pali. Arahaṃ sammāsambuddho bhagavā Buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādemi Svakkhato bhagavata dhammo Dhammang namassami Suppatipanno Bhagavato Sawakasango Sanghang namami. So if you have the understanding, all of the teaching within Mahayana and Theravada, they match, no discrepancy. It's only those who don't have the understanding cannot penetrate. Then the next paragraph of the Heart Sutta is about the unconditioned Dhamma, no more the conditioned Dhamma. Then after that, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva told Sariputta, he said, all Dhammas are empty of characteristics. You know what is Dhamma, isn't it? What is Dhamma? Teaching of the Buddha, isn't it? What did the Buddha teach? You Buddhist, people ask you believe in the Buddha, what he teach? You also don't know. Correct. So Dhamma is basically truth. Universal truth is one of the way to describe it. But the Buddha, he didn't use that word, universal truth. He called it the noble truth. Why? Because when you understand his summary, which is the four noble truths, you will become noble ones, enlightened ones. So universal truth, a lot of scientists also understand the scientific aspect of universal truth, but they don't become enlightened ones. Do you understand? The physical law of nature, utu-niyama. The biological order of nature, the scientists, they know. They are very advanced. They have progressed until you look at our IT revolution, AI revolution. A lot of fantastic things has happened because of the understanding of these two scientific nature's law. So likewise, the Buddha, he understood the other three spiritual law. Karma niyama, law of karma. Chitta niyama, law of mind, means how you function as a human being, how your mundane mind and your true mind actually arise and operate. Then finally, Dhamma niyama, law of truth, the universal order of truth. He understood these three spiritual laws, that's why he became a Sammāsambuddha. He can summarize all of life, both mundane and supramundane, into just four noble truths. Who in this universe can do that? Four sentences, four noble truths. Everything is within that. Nobody can do that. That's why in the year 1971, when I received the book, first edition of Chief Reverend's first edition, What Buddhists Believe, when I saw for the first time, this life, this segment of life, the Four Noble Truths, straight away my heart became different. I was amazed at that instant. No, straight away the nature tell me, no, that's it, no need to search. Nobody in this universe, especially Sama Sambuddha Sakyamuni, 2600 over years ago, can summarize all of his understanding into the Four Noble Truths like that. And at that time, very funny, I read the Four Noble Truths. No need people teach me or explain. I understood what the Four Noble Truths. I understood it's the secret of life. Even a lot of Theravada people also still don't know what that thing is. They only know the four simplified meaning. You heard of these four things, Dukkha, Samudaya, Nirodha, Magga. What are they? Dukkha is the noble truth of dukkha, the reality of life and existence, prevalent of suffering. Samudaya means the cause of arising of all this suffering. That's why paticca samudaya, dependent, originating. So the origin, the arising of cause of suffering. Then Nirodha is the cessation of suffering, cessation of form and mind, enlightenment in the here and now. Suffering need not be. Then how to develop it? The Noble Eightfold Path. You cultivate it, it will lead to the end of all suffering. Just Four Noble Truths like that. Both the mundane, supramundane, complete about life is all there. Who can do that? That's why I said, no need to search, that's it. And since that moment onward, that imprint has been in me. Then that time I was in Form 6, I think Lower 6. Then after Upper 6, I went to MU, study engineering. The first day I went there, somebody brought me to Science Faculty. The author of the book, our late chief, K. Sridhamanda, he was giving a very scientific Buddhist talk at that time. Then when he was sharing all those teaching, I remember, keep on pointing to the forehead here. You know. He said, look into the mind. That time, I don't know what the mind is. I don't know. I haven't really cultivated. So I thought, the mind is inside here. The brain, the memory. So I went back that night. I wait till my roommate slept. Then around midnight, I wake up, 12 a.m. I decided to sit, to meditate. So I sat. Then he advised us during the talk, look into the mind, point to the forehead. So I look into the mind. Well, at that time, I science student, my mind very focused, very clear. I want to concentrate on something I cannot. So I was looking into the mind, the brain there. I can't find anything. But all of a sudden, I find a bright spot. Very funny, the bright spot appeared. Then I look at the white spot. I can just look at it, it doesn't run on. No. Yeah. Then very funny is, I become very quiet, very peaceful, and I look at it. I was able to relax into it and look at it. Then after that, he said, look inside. I said, I look already. So I decided to give it a push. I went through that one pointer also. Then inside the meditative state, I saw my mind travel out into infinite space. It's just like a spaceship. Go out into infinite space. Then during that moment, the whole consciousness and the mind become very different. Then, like this one going up. Then all of a sudden, the thought came back, what is all this? So I decide to withdraw. The first time I experience it, then my mind come back. So to me, all those moments, at the most, half an hour, cannot be more than half an hour. But I open my eye, 4 a.m., my watch says. I have been sitting there 4 hours, without me knowing. And I was full of this, what they call inner peace, inner calmness. The mind is like completely absorbed. No thought, nothing. And that state remained for a week. So that time I was telling myself, oh, that is meditation. Because I didn't know. So I continue doing it as a uni student. Until my anapanasati come by itself, until I become very, very good at it. Then I develop metta, everything. At that time, I like enlightened, 1975, 76, 77, until I graduate in 79. That time, I like nothing can disturb me. But I didn't know that is still not the free mind. That is still deep absorption. Luckily, it's not one-pointedness. Not the one that go into one-pointedness to do the ekagata and all those things. Mine is full mindfulness, the anapanasati, until it becomes absorbed into it. So that one is, they call apana samadhi, means I went in too deep. I went beyond the upachara samadhi until my mind become continuously aware with clarity, but cannot move, understand? It was so still. Still until my heart here, there is like a cylinder of energy. Nothing can go and disturb it, lightning or what also, no fear, nothing. It just liang outside like that, but no sound, just like vibrate. Cannot go in, cannot penetrate. That is so still. So I thought that's it. Because nothing had disturbed me and full of metta. Then later, I met my first teacher, Ajayantra, Master Shen Hua, my refuge. Then only I knew that was not a free mind. That's why I reversed my cultivation into daily mindfulness. Well, my teacher, Ajayantra, very good. He said, I teach you the highest meditation. So I was expecting, what is this highest meditation? When he summarized it, I got a shock of my life. He said, we choose aware, every moment, every instant, in the present moment. The moment I heard that, I was shocked. This is the highest, Not all the energy, fuel, absorption, the fantastic meditative mind state that I went through. Then I reflected on it. I investigated on it. Then I realized the four foundations of mindfulness. He's talking about mindfulness and heedfulness. And what he say is a summary of daily mindfulness. We choose aware. All action, all movement in the present moment. Who can write? Whose writing is nice? Write for me. Hey, volunteer, somebody. Whose writing is good? Never mind, volunteer, right? Right up there, above the four support. Not tall enough. Look, I lend you something to make you tall. Then I got cushion. We choose aware. Every action, every movement in the present moment. So this is what sati sampajana is, daily mindfulness. Then I realize this is the thing that I haven't cultivated. I only cultivate anapanasati until we went into absorption meditation, apana samadhi. I experienced all the piti, sukha, the what they call absorption Yannick Bechter, everything. Then that time, I thought, that's it. But when I came out to work, I realized I still have craving to become a better engineer. I want to study law. I want to do master degree. I want to excel in my career and all those things. Then when you start to go into career, you touch money as well. Then you want to have financial freedom. Then I realize, what is all this? This is craving again, understand? Driving me in a different direction. Then that time, I happened to be married too. Then I got a daughter, Sui, in the year 1980. So what am I supposed to do? I realized this is not the right direction. Then because I didn't meditate so often, then I realized my ability to have that energy that I do under Apana Samadhi slowly, slowly dissipating. So when I met Ajahn Yantra in 86 until 89, that 3 years, when Kuan Yin came in the message, asked me to move fast, he poured the triple gem onto my hand. That time, the teacher come, the guide come, the book come, everything come, my refuge teacher, Ajahn Yantra, all my guide, during that 3 years. So 86, I met him. When he mentioned that word, I realized this is what I have not done. So I decide to reverse all this, release the absorption Apana Samadhi out into daily mindfulness and do. Then I started doing it. We choose aware every action, every moment in the present moment. I realized I cannot do it. I was hardly aware even for 5 minutes in a day. Split second, the thought just run off. I need to go back to Anapanasati to fix the thought. To be mindful of in and out breath, then only the thought cannot come out. Means what? I use energy field to suppress it. I go into absorption, Apana Samadhi. And there is not a free mind. That's why the five mental hindrance, when I was meditating in the uni, it's like I don't have the hindrance at all. Like I'm enlightened. Then later on, when I don't meditate so often, I realize the mental hindrance arise, the craving, the desire, all this starts to surface again. That's why I knew straight away that was not the right way. Then I determined to be aware. Then my teacher Ajahn Yantra asked, I remember, he said, who want to promise to develop this, the highest meditation? So I straight away, without hesitation, put up my hand. There was another guy that followed me, I don't know who he is. Then he looked at the two of us, he smiled and said, you promised the Buddha, not me. You promised the Buddha. You dare to go against your promise. That's why I determined to be aware. Within 2 weeks, the sati came. I just maintained my awareness at the heart. The sati came. That's how I developed the ability to be at the heart area, no longer at the forehead. Then when this one developed, I reached a period where my this chest area, the energy was so strong, the mindfulness, the awareness, until the mind become aware by itself. Then I realized, this is what I heard before. You take care my mind, take care of you. Because the awareness was here until every moment was aware, aware. Inside there, aware. By itself is aware. That's why you must determine to be aware from inside. Then this one become aware. Then actually, I was lucky. Because I have a vow that enable me to have the causes and condition to understand the highest teaching at any one time when my nature arises. And because of that, My last guide came in 1989. After I have understood the Dhamma, after I connect, he came. I refused to see him. There were conditions. 6 times I refused to see him. Then after the 6th time, I was telling myself, who is this guy? How come like that? Normally, 2 or 3, I will see already. I know his memory. So I say, okay, I don't know who he is. Because the condition keep on manifesting. I say, okay, I will see him. And then when I met him, I knew why. Because he cut short my training, my cultivation, by at least 10 to 15 years. He very different, but he know where the gateway is. That's the only thing I need from him. And the rest is history. A lot of things happened. The moment I met him, he held my hand, he knew my mindfulness, my awareness, he knew. He said, you are very good, he said. Very few people can have this type of mindfulness and awareness. He used the word awareness. He don't like the word mindfulness. He is the one that told me, I don't know what this Buddhist teaching is all about. Awareness, where got mind on, is it? And they go and coin the word mindfulness. When you have mind, it's the mundane mind, understand? No? You say awareness, where got mind? Awareness, aware. That's why later on I contemplated, I have to explain to him why Buddhists use the word mind. I said mind in fullness, ma. You understand? No? In fullness means no thought, understand? No? You fully aware. Not mind in fullness, full of thought, that is heedless, understand? No? Then he said, if that is the meaning, then don't use that word. Awareness, he said, aware, finish. So from there onward, everything just fall into place. Then it becomes history. Okay? So because of that, I connect to my past. I inherited from my karmic nature initially, then later on my spiritual nature. Then when all this understanding come back to me, I realize a lot of things that I understand is not from this life. This life I never learned on. That's why after 1986, Kuan Yin's message, 2008, Maitreya came and invited me very courteous way, requested me, Qing Ni Ba Zheng Fa Chuan Xia Qi. You want to know more? Read the blue book, Bodhisattva Way. Yeah? It's inside there. I describe it, how it happened and all those things. Very beautiful. Then, that's how I end up teaching all these things. Yeah? Otherwise, all these teachings cannot come out. Yeah? Because of that request and the condition. Okay, so now I will go into the third paragraph. Yes. We choose aware every action, every movement. Is it movement? Sen nian. You ask Alicia to help you. 他要明白 awareness in Mandarin. The Mahayana call it 正念. I think 念 is thought, isn't it? Right thought, isn't it? 觉知. But under the Mahayana Noble Eightfold Path, Samasati, I think it's 正念. Yeah, well, the right thought is 正思维, is it? That is right thought. But 正念, to them, that 念 is not 念头的念. It's right awareness. Yeah. And be well, the mic, there's the mic. The other two mic cannot. Oh, okay already. Yeah. Okay. It's okay, it's okay. Never mind. It'll be used. Use that one. Use that one.
Yeah. With the permission, radio, actually, Nian has got many meanings.
Ah, good.
Bali word.
No wonder.
For this case, Nian, you know, Chinese, right? On top is a Jing. Never mind, you learn this one. Nian, on top is a Jing. At the present moment, Jing. Down there is a Sing, your heart. So your heart in the present moment.
Ah, sadhu, very good.
This is the
that is the awareness.
Nian.
Yeah.
It's not Nian Jing, the Nian.
Yeah, correct.
But it's the same word.
Ah, okay,
many
okay.
Multiple
okay.
Meanings.
Sadhu, sadhu. You can write down that word in English.
Sure.
Sure, write it down. For the benefit of those who need to understand Mandarin. That's why all along, I was thinking why they use the word zhen nian. We are familiar with the word nian tou or nian, but it's not. Because for right thought, they have another word, zhen si wei. Can you just write here? Ah, there. Okay, up there. Yeah. So that is the meaning. Okay, so I move to the third paragraph. This is the unconditioned Dhamma. Kuan Yin To Sariputta, all Dhamma are empty of characteristic. So the meaning here is empty of characteristic means within the conditioned world, the conditioned Dhamma say all phenomena, all Dhamma exhibit the universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, anatta. But here, in the unconditioned Dhamma, the Buddha say, all Dhamma are empty of characteristic. Means within the conditioned world, there is no such thing as anicchang, dukkang, anatta. You understand? It is unconditioned. So he say, they are not produced. You understand? Pu sen pu mie, not destroyed. You understand? Not produced means, actually the Mandarin word is better, pu sen. But the translation produce is like not so accurate. No arising, no ceasing, understand? It's not produce something like produce crop, produce children, no. Means how it arise within nature, no arising, no ceasing. So the English word also, not destroy, also not correct. So it's no arising, no ceasing, non-ceasing. Then not defiled, not pure. All these are duality. And they neither increase nor decrease. Then the other one is, therefore, in true emptiness. See, this is the word, the unconditioned Dhamma, in true emptiness. There is no five aggregate of form and mind. Rupa, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vijnana. No organ of eye, ear, nose, tongue, body and mind. No sense data of sight, sound, smell, taste, object of touch or tactile or dhammas. No feel of eye, means the eye consciousness, up to no feel of mind consciousness, the 18th sense drive. And no ignorant or ending of ignorant, up to including no old age, sickness and death. Or ending of old age, sickness and death. Then Four Noble Truths also don't have no suffering, no accumulation, cause of arising or suffering, no cessation or extinction, and no path that leads to the end of all suffering, and no attaining. That's why no one to attain, no one to be enlightened. All this is the unconditioned Dhamma. Because nothing is attained, the Bodhisattva, through reliance on Prajna Paramita, is unimpeded in his mind. Because there is no impediment, he is not afraid. He leaves distorted dream thinking, far behind, ultimately Nibbana. All Buddhas of the three periods of time attain Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi, means Samasambuddhahood. Through reliance on this perfection of wisdom, Prajna Paramita Sutta. Therefore, know that the Prajnaparamita Sutta is a great spiritual mantra, and this is what the Heart Sutta is all about. A great bright mantra, supreme mantra, and unequal mantra. It can remove all suffering. It can root out all suffering. It is genuine and not false. That is why the mantra of Prajnaparamita was spoken. Recite it this way. Gate gate paragate parasam gate bodhi swaha. So this is what the Heart Sutta is. So if you don't have the understanding, don't simply comment and say all those things. Becoming obstruction is very severe. When you don't understand, have an open mind. Don't comment. Otherwise you get into big trouble. Simply say things. Okay, now we continue. Can you read, tell me? This one is very important, the five aggregate of form and mind. That's why the moment I start, I want to teach this. We have the final summary of the first noble truth also about five aggregate. The Heart Sutta also illuminate the five aggregate, saw that they are all empty. That's why you don't understand the five aggregate form, right? How can you put it to test? How can you investigate into it? Do you understand? Okay? Yeah.
Page 6, 1.3. The five khandhas or aggregates of form and mind. Two aspects to it. Number one, first aspect. As a human being, where the rupa form is the physical form or body. Two, then the second aspect, as the five mental aggregates where the mental rupa form are external forms brought into mind by the aggregates of mental perception or sanya.
Can you understand this? Those who are new, I want to know, can you understand this? The two aspects of the five aggregates of form and mind. You better tell me, otherwise I assume you know, then we move on. There are a few new people. Do you understand what is the meaning, the five aggregate? If you cannot understand this, you cannot put it to test, you cannot develop the understanding. Anybody? You mean you understand? I don't need to teach. I don't need to share anymore. You better put up your hand, those who are new. Do you really understand? Don't be shy. The thought is shy, not you. You actually inside, beautiful, you have the nature, Buddha nature, but you didn't know. Jiwei, pass the mic. You take a shot, I want to rub already, I want to teach you. Jiwei, yes.
Yes, brother. I think it would be very good for us. If you can elaborate on aggregates.
I had to go through it because to develop the understanding is very important. Okay, assume you don't know anything. We investigate. Okay? Clean slate. Throw away all your knowledge. I know Theravada people, when you ask them what is the five aggregate, they can rattle like an encyclopedia to you. Rupa, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vinyana, those who know Pali. Is that the five aggregate? These are the name that the Buddha mentioned inside the teaching. He called it skandhas, aggregate skandhas. So the Buddha actually subdivided the mind into four more aggregates. So the first aspect is as a human being. As a human being means you check. As a human being, who are you? What are you? I ask you a very simple question. Who are you? What are you? You have a physical body there. That is very easy to understand it. So the form element, aggregate or rupa, first aspect is a human physical body. Then you have a consciousness trapped inside, isn't it? Correct or not? Otherwise, how can you be conscious of things? That is your mind. And the Buddha say, the aggregate of mind, you must subdivide it into four so that you can develop the understanding. And to understand these four is very easy. What can your mind do? So your mind can feel, okay? So this five aggregate of form and mind. Pardon me, my drawing very crude. Okay? So here is the consciousness or mind. So here there are two aspects, mundane mind and the true mind. But when your mundane mind is active, you cannot see your true mind. So the Buddha said, this is the physical body. This whole thing is the physical body. So this is what they call the rupa, the form element. So rupa is form. So in this case, it's the physical form, or body. So you add this together, it becomes the first aspect of five aggregate of form and mind. So this is how, as a human being, so like we all can easily deduce, no need to have any understanding. Just assume you don't know anything, find out yourself. As a human being, we have a physical body. Anybody want to argue about this? Then you have a consciousness trapped inside. This is your mind. The Buddha said, to understand the mind, you must subdivide it into four things. And to understand these four aggregates is very easy. Ask yourself, what can your mind do? What can your mind do? First one is, it can think. Okay? These are not according to the sequence of the Buddha, because for Sui An, the first thing, very common is think. You think a lot, is it? So, the other one is, you can feel, understand or not? So this is feeling, Vedana. This is thinking, Sankara. Then what else can your mind do? You can perceive, isn't it? You can come to know things, cognize things. So, perception. So this one is Sanya. Then the last one is what? What can your mind do? It can make you conscious, isn't it? Conscious of what? Conscious of what you see, hear, smell, taste, tactile, and thought process. That's why these four things is what the Buddha is teaching you, and they are very basic and very important. You are capable of conscious. You can become conscious. Conscious of what you see, your sixth sense. So this is Vijnana. So these four aggregates, four aggregates of mind, together form the first aspect of the five aggregates of form and mind. So this one clear. Clear. Okay? Apart from this, where else can you find the five aggregates? Where else can you find the aggregate? The mind has only these four, understand? Then how does the mind receive the external form, aggregate? Through what? Perception. When you perceive, you cognize, understand? Like the Buddha image, the external form enters your mind. So this one, four aggregates of mind, plus the external form that enters your mind via perception or sanya equals to five mental aggregates of form and mind. Now you understand. Because of the external form enters the mind, the four aggregate plus the external form, this one is mental form. Huh? Mental form. You remember the blocker? How do you know it's a blocker? You perceive it, isn't it? You cognize it through the perception aggregate. That's why it's just an image. Externally, already dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of not, not so real. Because of causes and condition, it arises. So it's dependent, originating. Condition arising, causal phenomena, not a permanent unchanging entity. And because of that, the external form when it enters the mind is only an image. How real can it be? Externally, not so real. When you perceive it through an image, mental perception, it's even more unreal. Then why do you grasp onto it, cling onto it, hold onto it, and give meaning to it, and develop all the delusion to arise your own suffering? When you cannot get what you want, when things don't go your way, when there is separation. Because you attach, you cling, you grasp to all this fire aggregate. Every aspect of it, you can put to test. That's why the grasping aggregate, the final summary of the first number two, the Buddha said, Upadana Khandas is the cause of suffering. He said, in short, he summarized, all of your grasping aggregate, born of your sakayatiti, is dukkha. You don't believe? Go and check. Put it to test. So now you know the two aspects, now you can check, isn't it? First aspect, you cling to the physical body, do you suffer? Huh? You worry about your body? Getting old? Getting sick and dying? Where you think this is you, isn't it? That's why suffering arises when you attach and cling. And you think you're real, you exist. That's why you want to own things, you want to possess things, you want to have things. That's how you give rise to the egoic mind, the personality, the selfishness, which is craving, desire, greed. Then when you cannot get what you want, you become unhappy, aversion, envy, jealousy, dislike, the evil root again. Then when you don't understand, there is doubt, there is fear, there is worry, there is anxiety, and that is sakayati, self-delusion. The three evil root manifest because you grasp and you cling. That's why the Buddha's problem when he left the palace, he saw the four signs. The first three is about the reality of the physical body. Then when he realized that they are all empty, not real, dependent originating, condition arising, go the way of nature. That's why he liberated, he became enlightened. At that time he got no magic, he only have understanding, wisdom. That's why finally the physical form still die, understand? He still realized parinibbana, and the physical body go the way of nature. So all this is what the teaching is all about. Then when it comes to these aggregates of feeling, when you attach to feeling, do you suffer? Very easy to understand. You want good feeling, you don't want unpleasant feeling. So you attach to what? But feeling is dependent originating. If you don't know how to understand your mind, throughout the day, you will stir your mind and develop the suffering. Where every moment of perception, there is feeling from your views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system, your habitual tendency, your like and your dislike. You understand? This is how feeling, when you grasp and cling, you suffer. That's why the Buddha said the Arahant, the aggregates, are pure aggregate. Means what? At the moment of contact, it's pure feeling. It's not a craving. After feeling, what does it condition? Vedana paccaya tanha. That's feeling condition craving. Craving condition grasping. Grasping condition becoming. That is the paticca samuppada anasana. Without feeling, there is no duality of like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. Anasana. Then no mental hindrance. The mental hindrance of sensual desire, ill will, is the first two, greed and hatred. You understand? That's why the teaching are all connected and linked. So if you grasp at your feeling, you suffer, you know. You can never want pleasant feeling and reject unpleasant feeling. Why? Because the reality is, the Buddha says, whatever that happened to you, there are causes and conditions, understand? Like when you have an injury, let's say, car accident or whatever, bleeding and all that. You say, I don't want to suffer like that. If you are deluded, that is your choice. It happened already, understand? Condition like that, you cannot accident because you're karmic and all that. Then now, what can you do? Either you seek cure or help, or do what you have to do, or you become miserable. Why the fellow so stupid? Never look at my car. Red light still come. You can say all those. Analyze, justify, reason, and up, you still suffer. Because you attach. But if you don't attach, means what? This one is not you, understand not? Go the way of nature. That's why the Buddha said, this is subject to aging, sickness, injury. Finally, it will die. And this is a reality. Not only you experience, all living beings, especially human beings, they have to experience, confront in life. If they live life long enough, when they confront with the Dhamma understanding, they're free. Because like the Buddha said, this body of mine is of the nature to grow old, get sick, and die. For it has not gone beyond old age, sickness, and death. That's why you chant and you don't understand what you chant. Morning chanting. Heart Sutta. Everything points towards the five aggregate and you don't want to learn. You don't even... Anybody say anything? Shipping, you say something? Oh, did I? All these are very basic Dhamma, very basic teaching that can be understood by all. Why you all go and learn that funny type of knowledge based on, thought based on, not relevant to life, not teaching you the thing that you're supposed to know, understand now? You have learned science and biology and all those things. What do they teach you? You can be a psychiatrist, or you can be what they call, what is the other one? Your daughter study on psychology. They can only teach you thought-based psychology, become a psychiatrist and all those things. Understand? Then, go into the thought process and there's a dementia and also what they call you go into depression and all those things. Then what they give you? Tranquilizer, let you sleep, then hormone to adjust your whatever deficiency. Because when you have fear, anxiety, panic attack, born of stress, depression, they know certain chemical imbalance happen. So they put in the chemical, it's like they give you drug, then you become dependent. But they cannot solve the problem. So learning all these signs, they can't give you the full answer. They can only work within the field of thought, within the scientific knowledge. They can be very good in that field. But when it comes to understanding yourself, self-knowledge, you need mindfulness, awareness, which they don't have. The scientists don't have. That's why they cannot probe. The Buddhist meditation, you aware, you can see your five aggregates. The moment of perception, the moment of awareness of feeling, the moment of activity and movement of sankhara before the content goes in. Your views, opinion, the brain, everything, you are aware. Then when you don't act according to memory, you act according to dhamma understanding, that understanding and wisdom is so different. Because this one prompts you, you only saw manasikara. Then you can act from here, you don't have to act from here. Deluded people got no choice. This is the only instrument they have. They don't have dhamma, they don't have wisdom. That's why they suffer. Now you understand? So this is why the five aggregate of form and mind is so important. You go into the other aggregate also same. Whatever you perceive, you discriminate. True or not? Yeah? Nice, not nice, old, beautiful, race, everything come in. Understand or not? That's why you attach to perception, you give rise to division, you create misunderstanding, suffering. Then you attach to consciousness, the Buddha said this is like a magician. Understand or not? Illusion. Not real, but you think it's very real. Because everything that you perceive through your seeing on your hearing is so real. Understand or not? How can you say this one is unreal? How can you say you are not real? You are not real. Do you understand? But this one is the consciousness is like a magician. You know what is a magician? The illusionist. He create illusion for you to see. It's like real. I already told you, you open your eye, the whole field of vision, you created it, arise already. You are the greatest magician. But all this that you perceive through your seeing consciousness, is it real? It's just an image in the memory. Understand? How real can it be? And yet you deludedly grasp and cling and claim, oh, my race, my countrymen, my nationality, then you discriminate. That's why consciousness actually is like a magician. Then feeling is like what? The analogy. Bubble, understand? Pop, gone. Means what? Arise and pass away. Every moment of feeling is like that. So next time you fall sick, when you have pain or severe, what they call, intolerable type of feeling, yeah, you silence your mind and maintain awareness and don't do anything. And you find out what happened. You find out what happened. You will get a shock of your life. Actually, nobody suffer. You yourself attach and cling to that sensation and you become miserable. Where you think it's you having the pain. Understand? You sure don't agree on. Yeah, you ask Dr. Jayanta, the Tuma department, my niece told me, the Tuma department, a lot of traumatic accident and suffering. So when you are in that state, you mean the suffering not real, not you? Unless you have awareness. Because when you have awareness, you become different. Because I went through before, very, very painful. Normal people cannot take it. But for me, it's nothing. Well, this is a reality. The form go through this. Then I have a consciousness trapped inside. I will experience this aggregate. Understand not? But when I experience them, do I suffer? If I don't grow up, I don't suffer. Then I realize every moment is just the awareness of it, awareness of it. When I just aware, I don't suffer. But when I don't develop the awareness to be with the true mind, that mundane mind, the thinking, intolerable, complain. That's why you want to seek a cure. And this is our body's specialty, the defense system, the nerve and all those things. It triggers pain so that you seek solution. Understand? Is our body's defense system. Otherwise, you wouldn't know that you have problem. That's why a lot of this is actually a blessing. They say early detection. You remember? The doctor always advised early detection. How can you detect? Well, a lot of people don't care. Oh, a little bit uncomfortable. I think okay lah. Cannot be heart attack lah. So you postpone. You postpone. Understand? Then sometimes 2 weeks or so. Yeah, no time lah. Dentist later. Until very pain only. Go and make appointment. Understand? Because this is how we procrastinate. We develop all this delusion because we don't understand the aggregate. What is thinking? Thought process. Come and go, arise and pass away. And yet you can be caught. Your views, your opinion are so strong, you can get angry and miserable always. You can argue and fight and create war always. Understand? That's why I say when you see beyond form, you got less problem. You still got issue with mental, understand? Well, each and every one of us, we have our views, our opinion, our belief system, our phobia, our shortcoming. All these are within the mundane mind accumulated in your brain. That's why acting according to memory is not acting at all. We are all the rubbish are inside there. But when you have the Dhamma understanding, the wisdom, then these four become pure aggregate. Pure aggregate. So this one is Arahant or enlightenment. Because to them, these are reality. Arise and pass away. Arise and pass away. So feeling is the same, like bubble. Yeah. Sankara is the best. You know what is the analogy around? Huh? Ah, banana stem. Have you all peeled the banana stem before? Layer after layer you peel, you go and analyze, you go and think. Finally, at the core of it, empty, understand? Nothing. That's why this is delusion. But thinking cannot solve your problem, create more problem. The more you think, the more afflicted you are. Yeah. That's why they say thinking actually is very stressful, consume a lot of energy, make you mentally torment you. That's why you think and think and think until the cocoon of thought, you develop what?
Depression.
Now you understand. So all this can be understood. So when it comes to the aggregate of mind, the Buddha gave us very good analogy. So this one, form, is like foam. You remember? Foam. You wash clothes, the foam looks like very solid under one mass. But in reality, when the condition no more, when the wind blow away, nothing exists. Understand? So the analogy that the Buddha gave is all very good, very beautiful. The best is this one, perception. What is the analogy? Like a mirage in the desert. Wow, you see oasis, water. But you go there, none, understand? Because it's an image, understand? Mirage, created. Like real, very real. But never real. Understand? That's why with awareness, you see all this, you understand all this. Then whatever you grasp, the content of consciousness, this tree is the content. Understand? This one is a receptacle. This one come together, it become the thought. So this five aggregate of form and mind is your thought. The second aspect. Under the paticca samuppada, avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnana, vijnana paccaya nama rup. That is the one. Second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind. But the Theravada texts, most of them use the three period of time. The fourth aggregate, Namarupa, they say is the first aspect. Avijja means because of ignorance, understand? So you condition sankhara, you say, is karmic activity. Karmic activity give rise to rebirth consciousness. Rebirth consciousness give rise to the first aspect of the five aggregate of four. I like that. Very logical, very easy to understand. But over three periods of time, he teach you that paticca-samuppada for what? Happened only once over three periods of time. This one, every moment, every instant arise within your form and mind. This is the one that the Buddha is talking about. Avijja paccaya sankhara, because of ignorance, delusion, lack of understanding, wanting to know, wanting to experience. What you do? You go and think. And what is thinking? Thinking is memory, isn't it? Where you go there and perceive through your memory. Without memory, you cannot perceive accumulated knowledge. So when you do that, you are going to the brain, which is an organ, like the physics experiment. Upon contact, what happened? That thought consciousness arise, understand or not? So that thought consciousness is vijnana. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnana. Then vijnana paccaya namaru, the second aspect of the five aggregate. Means after that you input the content, you become the five aggregate of format. There is your thought. And dependent on this thought, there must be sense basis. Otherwise it cannot arise. And because of sense basis, there must be contact. No contact, no consciousness. Understand? And because of contact, feeling arise. Feeling condition craving. Craving condition grasping. Grasping condition becoming. So the whole mess of suffering following the paticca-samuppada, when you are mindful, aware, you can see the link very clearly happening within your own form and mind. That's why I say, when you have mindfulness, you can know who are you, what are you, and how you function as a human being. And this is the real teaching. Not what you all learn, the theory and all those things, but never investigate, never go into it, where you don't develop the true awareness, sati. Okay? So we finish. Sui got something to add.
Just to add, so when the second aspect of the five gates of mind is so clear now, then the conclusion of the reflection becomes even clearer.
Yeah.
But in conclusion, it's the grasping onto
this five aggregates
by our thoughts.
Yeah.
That makes us suffer.
Correct.
Our
That's why.
Of the thought.
It's only your sankhara, understand, or content or conscience that make you miserable. Where you believe it's you, understand? You believe it's real. But this one is for the conditioned world, understand? A conditioned world has its own dhamma, understand? Has its own law of karma, has its own duality, has its own form and mind, the human being, that experience old age, sickness and death. That's why the Buddhists very confused. They say everywhere like contradictory, understand? The Buddha say anicang dukkang anatta. The Heart Sutta say no anicang, no dukkang, no anatta. The Buddha say birth, old age, sickness and death, the eight religions. The Heart Sutta say don't have. They can't understand. One is the unconditioned Dhamma, one is the conditioned Dhamma. So conditioned Dhamma, you must also develop the understanding so that you can live life. We are understanding life. If you don't understand life, you cannot live. And you cannot live, life got no meaning. You come here to suffer for what? I every time say, you might as well don't come. But you got no choice, understand? Karma forced you to come. Actually, it didn't force you. You, through your own ignorant avijja, you create that karmic river. Understand? But as a bodhisattva, they don't come back because of delusion. They come back because there is this understanding of the vow. They arise the vow to condition the pure thought out of love and compassion for the living being. They vow to liberate the limitless living being, the first vow. And because of that, it trigger off the karmic nature to create another five riya or form in mind, but born of the pure thought, love and compassion. Understand? Not rebirth due to avijja. Rebirth due to the vow, the pure thought. Because when you already arahant, like the Buddha say, you cannot come back as a rebirth to have another segmented form and mind. Unless you know this teaching, the Bodhisattva way, you plant the seed of Bodhi, take the vow, then create the condition for the pure consciousness to take conception, where you vow to do all the four things, the four basic vows. First, out of love and compassion to liberate the limitless living being. And this love and compassion is the pure thought that comes. That's why when Hui Ning born, I born, the mind is pure. Until 5-6 years old, I got no thought. My grandmother thought I dumb, cannot talk. No, my mind was so pure. And I saw my own photo when I grew up. I look at the photo, I know, very innocent, very nice, very pure. Then very serene. Then my mother always say, I very easy to take care. I never give problem to my mother. What I want, I just Then my mother know, you want to be. Then I he know I want to release something. Then I know how to kick the thing, then the yaolam move by itself. And my mother say, you are the easiest to take care. That's why a lot of things. Then he look at me, he said, so pure, he said, no thought, he said, I got no problem with you. Then when it comes to study, he also say, everything just the way it is, meant to be. That's why take care of karma, karma take care of your life. Then develop the wisdom, the understanding, liberate and free your mind. So that whenever you arrive, you don't have to suffer unnecessarily. Like the Buddha said, suffering need not be, understand? Okay? Yeah. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So hopefully with this explanation now is clearer. Huh? Okay, continue. Tell me.
Perception, page 7. Perception or sanya is translated to cognition by the Venerable Master Xuan Hua in his book The Heart of Prajna Paramita Sutra. Vedana, sanyas, and sankhara are content of consciousness. Sankhara, mental formation, mental activities, mental states, mental intention, mental planning, scheming, etc. Everything that the mind can do, including feeling and perception. Consciousness or vijnana, receptacle or the container.
Container or receptacle means to receive something, understand? So the content of consciousness that went in, which is the sankhara activity, is the content. That's why the Buddha always used the word sabbe sankhara. He never say sabbe vedana sanya sankhara, understand? The sankhara 52 include vedana and sanya. But in the five aggregate of form and mind, the four aggregate of mind, he introduced these two, because these two are very important. You know why they are important. Vedana appear in where? Yeah? The four foundation of mindfulness, isn't it? He said mindfulness of feeling. That's why you have to teach. Then perception is the one that brings the external form into the mind, understand? If you don't separate these two out, how can you understand? You cannot understand. So, you look at the wisdom of the Buddha, the five aggregate, he put it so beautifully. And no need to be so scientific like chemistry, the elements, how many hundred elements and all those things. No need to know all these things. Like all the physics, they break into all the very molecule, atom, subatomic. What did the Buddha did? Four elements. What are the four elements? Earth element, water element, wind element, and heat element. Finish. Simple. Make it simple. Why so complicated? But scientists need to break it down because they study and that's our knowledge. They need to do a lot of research. Then they have to come up with theory. Initially, hypothesis. Then put it to test, become theory. So one is scientific. The other one is spiritual. They are different. So all this a very important understanding. Then I even explain the sixth sandal. The sixth sandal, now you understand. We are, as a human being, we have our sense spaces. That is how you know the world. You can become conscious of the world. Conscious of what you see, hear, smell, taste, tactile, and thought process. And this is what makes the world interesting. True or not? Meaningful, beautiful. Because without consciousness, how to experience all this? You understand? So, spiritual understanding is to understand clearly who are you, what are you, and how you function as a human being. And how you come to experience all this. And when you know how they arise and how they pass away, then you know when they pass away, you didn't die. Then how can feeling, perception, activity of mind and consciousness be you? Understand? They come and they go. Later on in the what they call reflection of the morning chanting and evening chanting, I go through you the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, then you will know the five aggregate. How the Buddha explained that they are Anatta, non-self, not you. Because he go through all the aggregate. He asked the monk, is feeling permanent? Of course they say it's not permanent. If feeling is not permanent, then is feeling something pleasurable that you can hold on to? They say no. It tends towards suffering. For the, all the other aggregate, he asked them, and the same answer. Then the Buddha questioned them, he said, all these aggregate, if they are not permanent and tends towards suffering, is it right to call them self, my feeling, my perception? My thought process, sankhara, my views, my opinion, my condition, my consciousness. The monk straight away awakened me. And all five become arahant. After we go through, see how many of you become arahant. It's so simple. But I make it even more simple. Feeling come and go, you didn't die. Understand? So definitely not you. But the Buddha used another approach, which is also at that time work. Because all the aggregate is impermanent. They come and go, they come and go, they know. Then when they come and go, he said, is this pleasurable or tends towards suffering? Then they knew. Feeling tends towards suffering. Perception tends towards suffering. Then the final conclusion is, all these five aggregates that are impermanent and tends towards suffering, is it right to say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, this is what I am. Straight away, the monk awakened. Then free, liberate, and become arahant. Didn't even meditate, just listen to him. So tomorrow we try. Or tonight you want to try? You make sure your COVID test after lunch you pass first. Or some pass already. I think all will pass, don't worry. So if COVID test you can pass, this Dhamma test very easy, you sure pass. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So you don't have to take a bus back and listen from the Zoom. Last year, the last few days, I think a few of them got to go back and listen from the Zoom, but it was beautiful. You can ask Ingby, they all, even Han and Po Cheng, they all, Tammy and the mother also same. That time, quite a number. But it was beautiful. Okay, so we continue. Yeah.
Six sense door, eye, ear, nose, tongue, bodily, tactile, and mind doors. Part 2, Meditation and Important Essential Dharma, 2.1. The five mental hindrances that hinder the mind from becoming peaceful and aware within are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, sleepiness or lethargic mind, restlessness of mind, and doubt. To counter it, we need to cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculties. 2.2. The opposite five spiritual faculties are Sada, faith, Virya, spiritual zeal, Sati, mindfulness, Samadhi, collectedness, and unwavering mind, and Panya, wisdom.
So these two, they are opposite five mind states, and they act in respect of their what they call they are the opposite, okay, but they are not duality, understand? Opposite means when you have the mental hindrance, you cannot have the spiritual faculty. Because they hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness, which is the five spiritual faculty. But what are spiritual faculty? From the word. These are mental faculty that enable you to understand spiritual teaching. Understand all? That's why it's called spiritual faculty. The other one, Pancha Nivarana, the five mental hindrance, they are mind state that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. So understand this. Don't simply parrot, rattle through memory. Five mental hindrance, sensual desire, you will sloth and torpor, restless of my doubt. But do you understand? If you don't understand, no meaning. That one is theory, Dhamma knowledge. But when you understand, you become beautiful. So spiritual faculty that enable you to understand spiritual teaching, we go through and we develop the understanding how it overcome the five mental hindrance. So the first one is what? Yeah? Five mental faculty. First one is what? Five spiritual or faculty. First one is Saddha, okay? Faith in the Buddha and his teaching. How do you develop this faith? This is very important. This is how you cultivate. Don't just attach and cling onto the theory thinking you know. Faith lah. Saddha lah, faith lah. Not that you won't learn. Faith in what? Buddha and his teaching. True understanding who the Buddha is and why his teaching is so wonderful. Then your faith develops, understand? Then your mind becomes composed, calm, unshakable. Who is the Buddha? You are a Buddhist. What is that meaning? The fully enlightened one, everybody described. What is the meaning? Again, enlightened one, awakened one. All same meaning. But who is he? He is the most virtuous and the wisest living being ever to be born, understand? That's why he has perfected himself over a long period of cultivation to become an omniscient one, a Sama Sambuddha. So to have a teacher or a guide who is the wisest and the most virtuous living being in the world, you somehow don't know how to have faith in him and appreciate what he has given to the world. Very sorry for you. So don't claim to be a Buddhist if you don't understand this. Understand? No? The faith means you know this is very rare. That's why I told you in 1971 when I saw the Four Noble Truths. I respect him like anything. I have faith. This is the real one. Nobody can summarize and teach like that. Understand? No? Even at my stage, which is very far away from him, I can also share and teach to you. Understand? No? Yeah? What more the Buddha? The great beings. They really, really are very wise and full of virtue. So when you know that they are the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born, his teaching is definitely very, very exceptional, beautiful. That's why this teaching can help you liberate, free your mind, and make you enlightened. Then you don't have to suffer anymore. This is the purpose of you coming here. You don't understand this teaching, then how can you understand life and live life? How can you break free from suffering, the reality of life and existence, the Four Noble Truths? You see all the interconnection or not? How the essential Dhamma, the teaching are all related, linked. And this one is connected to life, existence, applicable. We call it the living Dhamma. Not theoretical Dhamma that you rattle as knowledge, parrot out, but doesn't help you understand life and solve your life problem. So when you develop this faith, what happened to you? It will drive you to learn his teaching, isn't it? Cultivate his teaching, isn't it? So what is that second spiritual faculty? What is virya? Last time I heard a lot of book, Theravada book, they translate this as effort. Terrible. So this one you have to add the word spiritual zeal. Or tenacity to learn this teaching. You should add in one more thing. To learn his teaching and eat his good sadhu, Ingvi. Which is Dhammapada verse 183. Which is in Pali, Sabba Papasa Akaranang. Come. That one very important because she developed it, that's why she penetrated very fast.
Sadda and Viryan, it's not what we understand from the word. The Sadda is really like what Brother Theo says.
When he will drive you.
When you know the Buddha, who the Buddha is, right? You totally, the mind changes.
Transform.
The mind change, then you automatically go and learn the teaching.
No more doubt, no more searching. That is the one.
You do not need anything,
nothing else
to tell you,
correct.
Go and do this. You no need automatically, you see, you do. You continue to learn, and then the most important thing when you learn the Dhamma, your heart full of joy.
Full of understanding.
Full of joy.
And that is the natural outcome.
Yes.
Because not only you understand that he is such a great and exceptional being, so unique, most virtuous and wisest, to have him as our teacher, you should count your own great blessing and affinity. Then what are you waiting for when you have a teacher of this capacity?
A way to check, when you listen to the Dhamma, to the teaching, do you have joy?
Correct.
If you just go in, go out, you can't remember anything, you will not know anything.
Correct.
Because you cannot cultivate the blessing,
sadhu. You must have that joy. Then that thing inside there, like, wow, drives you. Then you become like very interested in this teaching.
And you rejoice
at the wisdom word that the Buddha teach. Everything that he teach, the essential Dhamma, is so wide, so full of wisdom and understanding. And so useful, yeah.
And then you don't have to remember everything.
Correct.
You will come up by yourself.
It's a wisdom that you already understand. There you contemplated, you reflected. No need to remember. It's not from memory. Yeah. You see, all my sharing, all the retreat or what, you think I prepare anything? You can ask me. At home, what I do? We all go live life, we ask what to eat and what to say. Then I, at the computer, I look at the stock market, which is I'm very good, and I have to actually monitor it, because that is what I help Kayamita to do the investment and all things. Then at the same time, I also develop understanding of what I need to understand, like the social media, the world. That's why I read the news. I still read the news. Then sometimes I like the video. The swordsmanship, Wu Wei and all those things. That one full of spiritual teaching, you know. Oh, the Wu Xie Xiao Shuo. The modern one now, a lot of very beautiful. Oh, recently, I saw one also, very beautiful. All about the spiritual teaching one. Yes.
Can
I just add? Okay, thank you.
Now this Kayamitra group, very fortunate. However, not necessary all the time. We are so fortunate. So I think I just like to add is that we know the teaching, we know Buddha, but we need to at least make aspiration, because I feel that the aspiration, I'm that fortunate along the way, so many years, I finally met someone able to actually propagate the true teaching understanding. So just like you said, don't give up. You don't give up. Sometimes you might not be that fortunate.
Because these are what we call affinity. That's why on the first day when I started, you remember in the introduction, I rejoice and tell you all, for you to be here, you have your parami. You have your past, you have your affinity, otherwise you cannot be here. Understand? So do make full use of whatever that you already have. Just like what Beng Lim tried to share, you don't take for granted, understand? Don't think that, oh, Brother Teo, every year is a good retreat, anytime I can come. If that is the case, you can never progress, because the virya is not there, the sadha is not strong. This one, spiritual faculty, you must develop it until it's unshakable. Means it becomes balance, power. Until the five spiritual faculty, they work in synchrony, it becomes power. Power means what? Everyone supporting each other. That's why sadha will give rise to virya. It will drive you to cultivate. So when it drives you to cultivate, what do you cultivate? The first thing you cultivate is what? This morning, yesterday, just teach. What? Mindfulness, sati, the third spiritual faculty. So you will develop this sati, or mindfulness. Then you stabilize it to become heedfulness. The moment you stabilize it to become heedfulness, you are home. Dhammapada verse 21 say what? Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Then why you worry? Develop this. When sati stabilizes, it becomes samadhi, you understand? Your mind becomes collected and unwavering. So this collected and unwavering, what is the meaning? Yeah. Means what?
Defiled?
No, not undefiled yet. Collected and unwavering means your mind is composed. That's a collected, unwavering. Means every moment when you live life, what happened? At the moment of sense experience, when you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, tactile feel something, or thought arise, what happened to you? Because you have sati and samadhi, your mind is collected and unwavering. Means what? Your mind doesn't stir, understand? Doesn't react to sense experience anymore. That's why you can see things as they are. Understand? So this one, once you have this, the mind doesn't stir or react to sense experience. So once this happens, you can see things as they are. You can see things as they are. And this is how the next spiritual faculty, Panya, wisdom, come to be. When you can see things as they are, means you see truth, you see reality. You no longer see delusion and illusionary activity. Means like the baby, newborn. No word, nothing. Understand? Kan san, pu si san, no word, nothing. You can see things as they are. Then all the open activity, where you observe with the silent mind, you start to understand how you function as a human. Who are you? What are you? That's how your mind stir and react to sense experience. You know, when it doesn't stir and react to sense experience, this is the difference. Last time, stir, react, have your tendency, entangle yourself, create a lot of suffering, misery, misunderstanding. Now, collected and unwavering, then you realize, hey, how come now I cannot get angry already? How come now no more fear, no more worry already? Then you realize, last time, all this arise because wrong view. That's how. Lack of spiritual understanding. We have no sati to see things as they are. I don't understand. Then when I understand, I retrospectively reverse it. Means, through understanding, the fourth way to meditate. The fourth way to meditate is very easy, the Buddha said. Yeah? Develop mindfulness to trace the origination factor. Remember? Then retrospectively reverse it through wisdom to liberate your mind. Then you realize with sati and samadhi, you can trace the origination factor. Then you will come to recollect and know how last time, when you don't have the Dhamma and the spiritual faculty developed, you panic, you fear. Then you get angry, you stir your mind. Then you realize all these are mind states, sankhara, that arise due to wrong view, wrong thought. But in the past, what did they teach you? Anger is an evil root. True or not? Fear is an evil root, delusion. So after they meditate for so long already, some 20 years, 30 years, they go in and out of retreat. They come and tell me, brother, I still got anger. Understand? I still have fear. How can I overcome this? I said, the moment you tell me you got anger, you got fear, means you don't understand. Understand? The Buddha already said, fire in me or form in mind is not you. Don't grasp, don't cling. So when you trace the origination factor, anger is dependent originating. Fear is dependent originating. Before you have anger and fear, did you have anger and fear? No, is that? So because of circumstances through the senses and your wrong view, you stir and you react and you created this. Like Hui Ning, originally empty. 本来无一物,何处惹尘埃? The dust is created by you through what? Delusion, duality, defilement. So when it's not you, why you worry about that fear and the anger? When it arises, develop the wisdom to be with it. The third way, understand? Stay with it. When you are just aware, relaxed, aware, what happened? That mind state dissolve, understand? Where it's dependent oriented, no more ignorance, no more delusion, no more wrong thought. You just silent, aware, exist. Then there is tranquility, coolness, stillness. The original mind return. Means all along you have the true mind, which is the stillness, the tranquility, and the pure awareness nature within. You don't know how to use this. You don't know how to realize this. And you go and complain about anger. I still have anger. That is delusion. Anger was never you. Fear was never you. Then why you go and attach and cling onto it? Then what they teach you? Hey, you must suppress your anger next time. Don't allow it to arise. No. You meditator, no. You Arya already. No. You, how can you still have anger? Suppress. Don't want to get angry. Act like you enlightened. What for? Understand? No. That is not the teaching. The teaching is anger was never you. Why you fear anger? Anger arises because of your delusion. Dependent origin. You don't have sati. You cannot see. You cannot awaken. You cannot trace the origination factor. So to reverse all this, what must you ask? Inquire. Why did I stir my mind and get angry? Why? Because you cannot see things as they are, isn't it? You want it your way, isn't it? Which is not nature's way, your habitual tendency. So when you see things as they are, means the way of understanding the world and the people, like I share with you that wisdom which I realize, that's why it makes your understanding shortcut easy. People are just the way they are, understand? No? The world is the world. Deluded people do deluded things. Selfish people do selfish things. When you accept them for what they are, do you still get angry with them? No more, is it? So is there a need to suppress your anger? Yan? Is there a need to meditate until no more anger? That is real delusion. How can you meditate until no more anger? Unless you go into jhana. Understand? No? Cut off everything so that nothing disturbs you. That is not the way. The Buddha is not the Buddha if he is only peaceful when he meditates. Understand? No? He is peaceful in the midst of life. That is the understanding. So now I hope you all understand the beauty of the spiritual faculty to counter the mental hindrance. So now, mental hindrance, you ask yourself, if I have faith, my mind is composed and full of faith, what happened? No more doubt with it. You overcome doubt with it. When I have virya, the tenacity, the spiritual zeal to cultivate, I won't be sleepy, slop and topple no more. When I have sati, I got no thought in it. No duality, no light, no dislike, no sensual desire, no evil. Then the mind is no longer restless. That's why all the five mental hindrance gone. That's why spiritual faculty clear them, root them out. That's why when you have these five, you become different. Throughout the day, the spiritual faculty protect you. Mental hindrance cannot arise. Yes, sir, you are ever mindful, constantly meditating. And this is the real understanding. Okay? Don't every time quote the theory, the Dhamma knowledge. No use. When you don't have the understanding, you won't learn. True or not? The five spiritual faculties, you have heard them for 18 years as a Buddhist. The five mental hindrance, but they teach a separate topic, not connected at all. And how to develop it, nobody really teach. Because sati and samadhi, they don't really have the clear understanding. So how to teach you? The direct seeing, the pure seeing, how to insight into phenomena, how to awaken, how to realize the universal character. This is no more book knowledge, where the book never teach all this. It has words, but it's not the understanding. That's why to have the understanding, you must develop sati. Most important, the Buddha already mentioned everywhere in his teaching. Before he died also, he reminded them, strike on with hatefulness. So Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23. That's why I highlight them in my sharing in the early years when I started. The important, essential Dhamma of the Buddha. So hopefully this year the thing really go in. And with Jin Hao, my daughter, they are doing all this short video. The Dhamma that come out will be very, very different. There will be a lot of people become like awakened when they hear it. Even yesterday, the Heart Sutta, form does not differ from emptiness, emptiness does not differ from form. Because form itself is emptiness, emptiness itself is form. The way I explain it is so clear, that's all, so beautiful, no contradiction. When people hear this, especially cultivator of the way, they will awaken. Okay? Yeah, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, go on. The next one also very important, five daily contemplation or reflection. This one we have gone through before. You read through. Tell me.
2.3, five daily reflections or contemplation leading to initial wisdom. Number one, this body of ours is of the nature to grow old and decay, for it has not gone beyond old age and decay. 2. This body of ours is of the nature to be diseased and get sick, for it has not gone beyond disease and sickness. 3. This body of ours is of the nature to die, for it has not gone beyond death. 4. All that is dear to us, our loved ones, our wealth, possessions, etc., are impermanent and condition arising. Hence, they will separate from us one day. 5. We are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma. 2.4. Meaning of craving, meditation, and attachment or clinging. Craving, wanting things your way, reacting to, craving leading to suffering. Meditation, listening or hearing or reading, plus contemplation, plus direct seeing, leading to awakening.
So this is the three turning. Three turning, the first type of wisdom through hearing the sutta is sutta-maya-panya. Then second one, contemplative wisdom, is chinta-maya-panya. Then the last one, bhavana-maya-panya, is wisdom born of meditative training. Okay, bhavana. Okay, attachment.
Attachment, grasping or clinging via delusion, conditioned suffering.
So this one we have already explained earlier on, the five aggregate of form and mind. Even Sui now also understand it so clearly. When you attach and cling deludedly to this five aggregate, that is the cause of your suffering. And these are all very clearly explained and easy to comprehend. Wake up, don't sleep anymore, don't be deluded anymore. Okay? Yeah.
Page 9. Second Heart Sutra class plus meditation class by Brother Teo Kien Kun at Wubing Jing Se on 19
to
February.
Read, no need to read the top part, just Heart Sutra class 2.
Yeah, Heart Sutra class 2.
No need to read the short note all, just go to the part one.
Recapitulation and emphasis on the previous lesson, 1.1. The 10 perfections or paramitas of the Theravada tradition. Dana, giving, generosity. Sila, morality. Nikama, renunciation. Panya, wisdom. Virya, spiritual zeal or strong tenacity or energy to cultivate. Kanti, patience. Satya, truthfulness. Adhidhana, aspiration or resolution or self-determination. Metta, loving kindness. Upekkha, equanimity. These are the 10 perfections that the Bodhisattva who is intent to be a Sama Sambuddha must cultivate and perfect. 1.2. The 6 perfections or paramita of the Mahayana tradition. Dana, giving or generosity. Kanti, patience. Dhyana, samadhi. Sila, precept, morality. Virya, vigor, spiritual zeal. Prajna, wisdom. 1.3. Words of wisdom by the Buddha, extracted from the Dhammapada verses on avoiding all evil, do good and purify the mind via having the right view with regards to the law of karma. Verse 1. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. Everything arises from the mind. So if one speaks, acts, and thinks with a wicked or unwholesome mind, then suffering will follow one like the wheel that follows the hoof of the ox. Verse 2. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. Everything arises from the mind. So if one speaks, acts, and thinks with a pure or wholesome mind, then happiness will follow one like the shadow that never leaves him.
So this Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, like I explained yesterday, yeah, these are the twin words. The first two, the Buddha wants you to understand. Because under the 5 daily contemplation, the last one is that we are all born of karma, heir to our karma, conditioned, supported by our karma. And you are what you are because of karma. So if you don't take care of karma, you will get into trouble. So these twin words explain that. He said, if you know that karma is so important and mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief, when mind arises, all things arise, you must take care of mind. Means what? You must avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind. Follow the advice of the Buddha. But if you choose to be heedless, then you will act, speak, and think with a heedless mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That will condition your suffering like the wheel that follows the hoof of the oxen's car. So now you understand. Dhammapada was one, you are heedless, you don't follow his advice, you don't develop heedfulness, you suffer. Then to free from suffering, you choose Dhammapada was two. Knowing that the same heading, mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief. When mind arises, all things arise. So we choose to take care of mind, means develop heedfulness. If we act, speak, and think with a wholesome mind, free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then what happens? Happiness will follow you, like your shadow that never leaves you. So life is so simple, so easy to choose, understand? You hold the key to your own destiny. So, choose wisely. Choose to be happy. Understand? No? Avoid Dhammapada verse 1 and train yourself to be heedful to develop Dhammapada verse 2. Is that difficult? But the question is, you think everybody is stupid? Why is it so many people don't know how to choose and develop the suffering and the misery? You mean they don't know how to choose? What do you think? Yeah? Before you know the Dhamma, you also don't know how to choose. Eh? You also get yourself entangled. Eh? Because you don't know this teaching, understand? Now, this teaching makes it so clear to you, you somehow choose not to train your mind and prefer to go back to the heedless way of living life is your choice. Like the Buddha said, no one help you but yourself. No one may and no one will. Remember this Buddhist hymn, huh? Means you must walk the path yourself. Buddha merely showed the way. Can remember? This one when I was in the Uni Buddhist Society, I think almost 40 years ago, I sing one. I like the lyrics because there is a very beautiful song composed by Victor V. If I'm not wrong. Buddha merely showed the way. You think the Buddha is not compassionate enough? Oh, the lunch is ready. I finished this part. You think the Buddha is not compassionate enough? He can make everybody enlightened. Do you think he won't? He will, isn't it? But this is not something that he can. Within the conditioned world, he can only teach you, show you the way. It's like Xuan Hua always tell me, my refuge teacher, 个人吃饭，个人饱. You hungry, you ask people to eat for you, can you develop the fullness? He who eat, receive the food and feel the lack of hunger. But if you don't eat, means you don't cultivate, how can you realize the Dhamma to free your mind? Okay? So with this, hopefully, you all can develop the adhittana or the zeal, the intent to go this way so that you can strive on with heedfulness and never look back. Because this is something you need in life. Without this, life after life you come miserable, I tell you. Please wake up. Sacrifice one life, a few months or a few years, go all out and do it. Then all your future coming taken care of. Not worth it. You still want to wait till approaching death only. I should have listened to Brother Teo. That time you talk to yourself. Like the Buddha sing, no one help you but yourself. No one may and no one will.
Can and no one may.
No one can and no one may. Yeah, I got it. So don't regret after that. At the time when you're about to pass away, your consciousness are very weak, then only you remember this song. Too bad. But don't worry. As Kayamita, you have affinity, you have the condition. You just have to determine. Okay, we go for